Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Hump Day. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you. Tommy, that's a borderline. I can feel it. I can feel the effort there.
It's the closest I've got. It's the closest that you're going to get. I mean, I'm trying as hard as I can, dipping one toe in the water.
You're not trying as hard as you can, but you're trying, and I appreciate that. I assume Max has his tie-dye on today, his version. I remembered this morning, and it's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And you know what? We need it today because we need a little sunshine. We need to inspire Mother Nature after the washout yesterday. I hope everybody's doing okay. Hope the flooding didn't negatively affect you and your family, your business, whatever it is. Thank you, Max. That was a lot of rain.
It felt like Hawaii.
Yeah. With that kind of rain. That was insane. It's been a long time through this drought that we've had, city flooding like that, but we did. And again, I hope everybody's doing okay. Maybe we'll get a little sunshine today and kind of buckle up as we may get a little more rain throughout the week. How about that Storm Team 12? How about the Storm Team 12 meteorologist updates here now on Odyssey? Pretty excited about that. That great crew that I get to work with every day on the TV side now hitting us with the updates here on radio, which is pretty great. We're pretty happy about that. But stay safe out there, everybody. Glad everybody made it. Glad you're with us today. And hopefully you got cozied up and ready for the debut of Jack Caglione last night for the Royals. We'll, of course, get there. We will dig into that a little bit. Should have Shreyas Lada in today for the first time. In a little less than a month, but it's been a minute. It's a good time for him to take a vacation because KU hadn't done anything while he's been gone, which is maybe a bit concerning. So we will get into that a little bit with Shreyas and dig into what's been going on there, what still could be to come as it pertains to KU. We'll bounce around a little bit. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I don't know if you knew this about me or not, but a lot of folks call me the Jack Caglione of Sports Daily. I make the entire show better just because of my presence alone.
Yeah.
I don't actually do anything myself. But I just make the whole show better.
People are saying it. I had fun with that last night. Immediately when Bobby Witt Jr. hits the home run, it's like, oh, there it is. There's the Kags effect. See, there was so much of that last night. We were having a blast. You know, things not going well. And it's like, oh, he's a bust. And then they have the big sixth inning and it's like, oh, he's back. Of course, he didn't do anything directly anyway. As a DH, he didn't help defensively and he didn't have any hits. We'll get into it, but that was sort of a funny thing last night. You know, Hudler on the television broadcast said it, and I think we all kind of, as much as we like to joke about it, like these kinds of things can wake a team up. And he kept saying, he was like, you never know what's going to happen when you make a, you know, a splash move that kind of gets the buzz and the energy going. And it's too early. The Royals have had individual games where they've been able to score some runs, and it wasn't the best starting pitcher they've played all year. We'll see if there's a lasting effect here, but it was certainly good to see it last night in St. Louis. I think more than anything, it was good to see them come back in a game, which has felt impossible. And they didn't let that overwhelm them, and they sort of clawed and climbed their way back into it and scratched a win together. The bullpen, you need a lot of innings out of a kind of a limping bullpen right now, and they got it. And they got the win, a first game in St. Louis, and they need it. They're going to need them all. This is going to be a brutal race in this wild card, I think, until the end of the season. I don't think whoever makes it in one way or the other, we're going to be talking about a difference of 4 or 5 games among the teams that are involved in making the postseason. So you need them all. And a comeback win, it's been too long since we've seen that from the Royals.
Yeah, let's give credit where credit is due. The fact that they were able to come back from 5 runs down, which, let's be honest, we've not been sure if they could come back from 1 run down leading up to this. I think the big question as the series progresses going into tonight and tomorrow night is the consistency. We've seen them put up a crooked number of runs in a handful of games this year, but then they have a hard time following it up a second time in a row or a third time in a row. And so that's going to be the big difference maker. The pitching for the Cardinals gets tougher starting tonight with Michaelis on the mound, you know, and all of that and his skill level and everything that he does. So you've got to be able to follow up this great offensive performance and the comeback win with another one tonight.
And it gets, you know, Michaelis isn't going to be fine. They'll be fine. They got lots of chances.
He's been pretty good today. Yesterday. He's been pretty good this year.
He's been fine.
Yeah.
He's been fine. I don't know that this isn't, you know, as unproductive scoring runs as this offense has been, like they ought to be able to hit and sort of string it together against anybody. It's liberatory in the finale. So they're going to have, that's the pitcher that's been sort of the ace for the Cardinals, but Michaelis he's had his time over there, but you're not worried about
it. It progressively gets better for the Cardinals, you know, starting with Pallante last night, Michaelis tonight, Liberatore on Thursday, progressively gets better. Michaelis has been good. He's not been great, but he's been good, a pretty respectable ERA. You know, so that's, you know, I think that's obviously the big test. We saw them put up 10 runs last night. We saw them come back from down 5 runs. Can they follow up a good offensive performance last night with another one tonight? That hasn't really happened much at all this season for the Royals. They've got to do that tonight.
We'll dig into that throughout. We've got the NBA making some big news. The Knicks fire Tibbs. What on earth are they doing
wild.
There?
Wild.
They do. Why? Right? Like Tom Thibodeau just got a huge extension. I've got a conspiracy theory for you on that. Dan Hurley didn't want to go to the West Coast. Maybe Dan Hurley wants to stay on the East Coast and coach the Knicks.
I've got another conspiracy theory for you. I like the Dan Hurley conspiracy, but there's a guy by the name of Jay Wright that's hanging out there that hasn't coached in a long time. There's a lot of Villanova players on that Knicks roster.
Maybe I think we got to get into that story because it's a little strange. And man, I just that is a weird move for the Knicks unless you've got somebody locked and loaded and ready to go. I don't think you do that if you don't, like, you're not going to do that and open up a job search to me. I don't know. We'll get into that story. We also have some giveaways for you today. If not our most popular giveaway so far that we've ever done here on Sports Daily since we started our text contest, the free golf at Crestview Country Club. will come today again here on Sports Daily. We'll tell you how you can win that, get you all the details as we make our way through. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll also give away some HTO today. We got a lot of fun stuff coming for you on the program. We're happy to be here. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. Stay dry today. Stay dry. Let's soak it in. I just saw that maybe the lake levels out at Cheney, they didn't get as much rain as we did here in the metro, but I saw that those levels are rising rapidly here this morning, so there must be some runoff somewhere feeding into the lake. So they'll be good out of it. We'll kind of grit your teeth, and hopefully nobody's taking the flooding damage. My yard is one of the places where it's having a good time. Need a boat back there. But we'll all be fine. We needed the rain. We got it. We got it in bunches, and here we go. All right. We have a show loaded up for you today. We're excited about it. We'll get you that Royals talk as we return here and make our way through this Wednesday edition. Don't go away. More All Brockton Caster coming your way next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here on this Wednesday, and we are joined here by Wichita State Athletic Director for a visit. Every couple weeks, we're happy to do this. Kevin Saul on the program. Kevin, we have you. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Just, you know, you get caught up in all the Jack Caglione hype last night where you just, you know, did lift everybody's spirits there?
He's a pretty special athlete for sure. I'm looking forward to learning more about his story. But, you know, the first at bat that he hit in the gap, you could tell in his eyes, this is no longer minor league baseball, when the center fielder ran down and caught the liner that probably goes for two in the minor leagues. But, no, it was really fun to watch.
Isn't that crazy? I saw this yesterday. It was probably my fit. He is the first Royal to get the call in without a full year in the minor league. So in the same, you know, calendar year since Bo Jackson. You're around these college baseball players all the time. To think about a guy that was in the College World Series a year ago, now already playing in the big leagues, is just pretty wild to imagine.
You know, there are some special talents like that. As you guys know, on the pitching side, typically there's at least a year or two of maturation before you're getting up to the major leagues. But sometimes with these positional guys, and they're so special and strong and see the ball well and can hit really well, that they get up there quick. And that certainly was the case with Bo, just an absolute freak athlete that they knew they could, you know, give the offense a little bit of a jump start by getting him in there. And obviously he was a great left fielder, and he's catching balls with his bare hands. He's running up on outfield fences. He was a really special talent.
Kevin, let's switch gears and talk Shocker basketball a little bit. So some big changes on Paul Mills' coaching staff. PJ Cousinard a couple of weeks ago joins the staff, and then Josh Eilert comes in and joins the staff as well, you know, coming back to his home state. He's had a really eventful couple of years at West Virginia and at Utah. What does the new additions to Paul Mills' staff, what does that do overall to the culture of Shocker basketball and them being on the bench this coming season?
Well, I think there's several things, but you know, obviously PJ knows what it's like to be a Shocker, and he loves Wichita, and he's passionate about getting 10-5 back in Charles Koch Arena, and certainly resonates really well with our fans. We've had several fans that have called into the ticket office and are interested in tickets because PJ's back. Which is really interesting. So anyway, we have an opportunity to add somebody of quality to the coaching staff in terms of technical skills and development, but also is a Shocker, certainly is of great benefit. And PJ is passionate about this program, and we've done a lot of recruiting. Paul and him go way back, both from Houston, and a lot of recruiting positives that have come out of that relationship with PJ. And then Josh is a guy that, as you said, is a Kansas native. It's a little ironic. My first job in college athletics worked at K-State from 2000 to 2005. He was a player at K-State. So I've kind of known and followed Josh for the last 20, 25 years. And he's a seasoned veteran on the bench, as you mentioned. Had very significant roles at West Virginia and Utah, and has spent a lot of time in college basketball amongst some very successful programs. So we're really excited to have both those guys not only on the bench but recruiting for us. They are seasoned coaches in their own right, and certainly will add great value to the staff.
What, you know, when you look at adding new assistants or even just changing assistants, how much impact does that have, do you think, on head coaches and what they're able to do? You know, the players are all turning over now, so now you also have coaching turnover. Does that make the job any more difficult, or does it just change it? What do you gauge with, you know, if you have to change everything now? It's almost been everything for Paul Mills.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of change in our game for sure. But, you know, ADs hire head coaches hire assistant coaches. And certainly we get involved in certain aspects of that. But the point there is the head coach has got to make sure that he's got a group of assistants that complement his skills and abilities, that fill the needs from a development standpoint with the roster. recruiting wise is critically important. And there's the cultural element as well in terms of what energy guys bring to the staff. So all of those elements are really, really important. And I think Paul's done a nice job of filling out those two spots.
Let's talk baseball and softball, Kevin. So both seasons are now done for Shocker baseball and Shocker softball. What does this time period right now look like for both Brian Green and Christy Breadbinner? Obviously, we know that the results for both teams, really not what I think most people expected for both baseball or softball. So as they start to get out of this season and start looking ahead to next year, where do things stand and what are the priorities?
Yeah, I think if Christy and Brian were on the show with us this morning, Tommy, they would tell you they were disappointed with the results, and everybody that's associated with the program is disappointed in the results. And we've got to figure out a way to coach better, to recruit better, to develop better, to be better administrators and support staff, to place our coaches in a position to win championships. Both of those programs were preseason picked in the top two and did not finish anywhere close to the top two. So we've got work to do, but I think it is important to understand that progress isn't always linear. You can look at baseball programs like UTSA, or Murray State might be a good example. I spent 3.5 years there. You can make significant strides in a year as it relates to recruiting, staff development, those sort of things. Baseball is hiring two new assistant coaches, so there will certainly be adjustments on that staff. Christy is working really, really hard. Both programs are in the portal, also recruiting. There seems to be a little bit of a theme that comes about as you look at baseball programs, for example, that have made the Super Regional weekend, particularly those that come from non-Power 4 leagues. You're seeing a pretty good mix of players that have been in your program for 2 or 3 years, so that continuity is important. You're seeing a influx of a half a dozen or so impact players from the portal. Which means your revenue share's got to be there to be able to acquire those guys. Really important that you have that. And then junior college can be a place that you can flip it pretty quick as well. So if you look at two programs like UTSA and Murray State, there's a pretty good balance of players that have been there for a little while, a little bit of continuity, junior college, and portal impact players. And that's certainly what I think Christy and Brian are trying to strike the right balance with this summer.
So Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, with us here on Sports Daily. Speaking of softball, and not Wichita State specifically, but college softball and what Texas Tech has done. We've seen this, sort of saw this with TCU in football reaching there. Texas Tech goes and they put together, they kind of push all their chips in. They get a big rally for 1 year, and it's been quite a story down there to see them come in that way. Are teams doing this where they just load up in the NIL and transfer? Do you think that's good? Do you think that's overall a good thing for the sports as a whole, for the industry as a whole, to have those outliers where you can do that, even if sometimes it's not sustainable?
Well, again, yeah, the sustainability of it is a whole nother conversation. But I guess the question comes down to, regardless of how you get there, is the parity good in sports? And I think most of the fans would probably say yes, because it breeds hope and it breeds an opportunity to do some special things on an occasion. But at the end of the day, my interests are trying to build sustainable programs as well, where you can sustain at a certain level of output and productivity and success, and then you can launch into successful years from there. For us, we want to be a top 100 athletics program. It looks like this year we're gonna land somewhere between 140 and 160, which is great. It's a jump of about 100 places from last year. I think we finished 247th last year. So we want to be a top 100 program. What does that mean? That means we've got to have a handful of sports that get into the NCAA tournament. We've got to have one or two that make a nice run in the NCAA tournament. And that's what we're striving to do. And we want to obviously be sustainable with that. So we're not far off. We are one team away from getting into the NCAA tournament of probably being in the top 100 this year. So we're close. And that's something that we strive to do.
I want to stay on the topic of softball, but not necessarily collegiate softball. Athletes Unlimited is kicking off this weekend, and there's a tie with Wichita State, obviously hosting, you know, some games and all of that. There's been a lot of buzz around this league, and Major League Baseball is providing an investment. Sounds like there are a lot of folks that are really excited about this league and the fact that they're going to be playing in Wichita. What has that relationship and partnership been like with the university and aligning Wichita State with this new softball league?
Yeah, I would tell you guys, it goes back to, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Brad Pittman and some folks from our facilities and operations team made a trip up to Chicago, and they went to an NCAA symposium on championships. I believe Josh Howell was there as well with Visit Wichita and the Sports Commission, and they made a pitch to AU softball while they were up there in Chicago, and that has really bore some great fruit for us. And so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that component, because that's what got AU softball there in the first place. And then, as you guys know, once events get here, whether it's the TBT or men's or women's basketball first or second rounds in the NCAA tournament or regionals, we have a really exciting announcement coming later this week about a consistent championship event that's going to be coming to Wichita. Like, once you get here, people understand this is a really good place with people that really care about sports, that care about championship level experiences. We hosted a record 31,300 at the state track meet this last weekend, and the weather had a lot to do with that. But a renovated university stadium had a lot to do with that. It was one of the most competitive championship track meets in recent years. I think there was 47 different state records that were set. So Wichita is a truly great sports community. And I think that, you know, events like AU softball, once they get here and they realize how much people care here and will support those events, it's hard to get out of Wichita once you get in.
It is. Kevin, last thing, the news yesterday you guys put out, it'll be a game home and home with Loyola Chicago. So we're looking at, real quick, on men's basketball, you know, Boise State has been announced, Northern Iowa, DePaul, and then the battle for Atlantis, which looks like a good field featuring Power Five programs up and down along with you guys. So I imagine, like, we're feeling pretty good about strength of schedule here. I know it's hard to know because everybody's turning over so many players, but at least in reputation, yep, program, anyway, strength, yep, of schedule's looking pretty strong.
Yeah, I think so. We look at you look at a Loyola Chicago, and you guys know where they've been. I think it's been NIT the last 2 years, but prior to that, NCAA tournament. And obviously a really, really strong program, and they will continue to be strong. That's a top 100 program consistently. Boise State is a top 50 program consistently. So going into their place this year will be a quad one. We've got an opportunity to pick up one or two quad ones in Atlantis. And guys, I would tell you, within the next, I hope, 3 or 4 days, we'll be announcing some additional games. But teams that finish in the top, consistently finish in the top third of their respective leagues, which, you know, gives them an opportunity to go up there and win a championship and help our strength of schedule and our net. And again, Jacob, I think you just nailed it there. It appears that we're taking a step forward from a strength of schedule standpoint. And that's the science part of it. You can go back and look at numbers, and you can look at projections and how many roster spots have turned over and who they've filled them with and all those things, which we do. But then you got to go out and execute, right? You're counting on these teams to have a good year. And that's the art of the deal as well. So we're certainly putting ourselves in a position to have a better strength of schedule this year as well.
Kevin, we appreciate it. Thank you. Hopefully some time here over the next couple of weeks or month or so to relax just a little bit as the calendar has turned to June. Thanks for stopping in today.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.
Here goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, catching up. A lot of good stuff. I like this. I like the way the schedule's, you know, coming out here. Tommy, that was the news of yesterday. It's like, how do you look at one and know one way or the other what it's going to be in this current state of college basketball? I don't, you know, the players aren't the same hardly anywhere, but it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. There were too many years there, not really in the last handful or recently, where you're just like, man, there's just not a lot of opportunities in the non-con. there's lots of opportunities now in the non-con. Even, you know, you see that even sometimes out of the teams you're not expecting much out of. You're like, oh, look, well, yeah, that team made the NCAA tournament. We played them earlier in the season. I think that's good. I think it's very important. Honestly, I think it's very important for Wichita State to continue to schedule that way. You know, can't be KU and K-State every year. Wish it was. So you got to go through and you got to find them. It's got to be hard too. I probably should ask Kevin this right there at the end. How hard is it to get somebody to come to Coke Arena? Like, is that, how much difficulty does that add to that process to do home and homes rather than neutral courts? But Shocker basketball is looking like they're going to have a lot of good tests early on for a new roster. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of new faces on the coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, you basically, outside of Paul Mills, you've got a brand new look of his coaching staff for the most part, and new players for the most part on that roster. And so, yeah, we've talked about it before, how difficult it is to set expectations, but at least you know that, you know, from a reputation standpoint, and Kevin talked about this, from a reputation standpoint, both on the bench with the coaches and the players, you've got, you know, some pretty high caliber guys, you know, coming in to both coach and play this season. So while it's hard to quantify expectations, I think that, you know, we can all say you feel pretty good about where things stand moving into this upcoming season.
Yeah. We can have our philosophical expectations,
right?
About the program, but the reality is, like, we got to see, and we are turning to June, so hopefully, and we'll try to get Coach Mills in here. We'll give it a few weeks. Let the players get in, get on campus, get a good look, and then maybe we'll try to set something up for later in the month. But it should be good. I'll tell you too. Like, if you want to, the reason for that philosophical expectation, this Cousinard thing has been wild to just sort of watch how interested people are and have been in an assistant coaching hire. It's interesting about it is when I first moved here, it would have been it was the year after the undefeated regular season. And as I'm, you know, doing some radio shows during that time, and I said on this show, like on my first day, I thought Wichita State might be better than KU, and people wanted to light me on fire and all of those things. The thing that surprised me probably as much as anything else is how much Shocker fans would talk to me about the assistant coaches. I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, who is that? Like, yeah. I didn't know who any of these guys were yet. Yeah. I just got here. But I was like, why did, like, they're fired. They're so fired up about this. Like, they're giving me the rundown on the assistant coaches. Now, that staff went on to do some pretty great things. Chris Jans was on that staff. Steve Forbes was on that staff. I was like, man, like, what is happening? But now, like, to see that come full circle with a guy like Cousinard coming back and, like, Shocker fans to be fired up about assistant coaches again. And then, of course, Josh Eilert, who has a lot of ties to the area. It's like, this feels like it used to. Like, people are really fired up about assistant coaches. I would imagine there's a lot of fan bases out there who don't even know who their assistant coaches are.
I made the connection right when Eilert was announced to join the staff that it reminded me a little bit of when Billy Kennedy was on Isaac Brown's staff.
Well, yeah.
Just because of the experience and all of that. And it's a name. Like, everybody knows that Billy Kennedy, you know, has been a head coach for a long time. Big 12 fans for sure. You know, and so I think that you've got kind of that same sort of stature. It's not totally apples to apples. There are some differences for sure. You know, but I think that the Eilert move brings a ton of credibility. PJ Cousinard brings a ton of great connections and recruitment. And obviously he's a former Shocker and all of that. I'm excited about that coaching staff.
Thanks to Kevin Saul there in the first hour. If you missed anything or want to catch anything on the show anytime, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. You can leave us your video messages on Facebook, YouTube, or X. Thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected. Let's talk Cags, Tommy. So the debut happens. Cags goes 0-5. And he's probably the only person, you know, in the dugout or the clubhouse that is truly pissed off about that, because everybody else could kind of feel it. The energy was tangible. It's so funny when you have these discussions, because none of it is like, you can't ever like prove any of it, but you wondered, like, does this buzz translate? Well, they did something they haven't done much of last night. We'll see if there is a trend there. But Cags hit all five of those balls pretty hard. Like, if he continues to hit the ball that hard, good things will happen for him at the big league level. Of course, 0-5, he's not happy about. But all in all, I think it was a just fine debut. let's get him out in the outfield now. Let's let him loosen up and kind of get his legs that way and just keep getting those ABs. But I thought it was, you know, it's hard to complain in a, you know, in a performance, one of the very few this season where the Royals offense has done something.
Yeah. Like how hilarious is it? You and I were texting about it last night after the game that, you know, this huge debut and everybody's talking about it. And he's the only one in the lineup that goes hitless. Everybody else in the lineup had at least one hit. That being said, though, he hit the ball on the screws several times. The hardest hit ball of the night was, I think, that ground out. Was it Nolan Arenado made a spectacular play? The first one was hit really hard too, and that was the great catch by Victor Scott. But then I think it was Arenado in the infield.
The first ground ball to Arenado.
The first ground ball to Arenado, I think, was the hardest hit ball of the entire night. And even that first one that Victor Scott robbed him in the outfield, that was an off-speed pitch that Cags reached for. He chased. And he was kind of off balance, and he still hit it extremely hard. So, like, there are a lot of different things you can look at, even though he went 0-for-5. And you're like, all right, this kid is absolutely something special.
And I don't want to make excuses. Like, yes, three of those non-hits could have been hits on other nights.
Absolutely.
But it's not that. It's just that he looked very comfortable to me at the plate. He will continue, and two of those, I believe, were first pitch swings. The pitchers are going to give him a hard time.
The very first pitch he saw in the big leagues, he took a big old cut at and he fouled it off.
Yeah, so and that's what he does. And right now, I'm okay with that, right? Like, I think what the Royals can't do with him is call him up when they so desperately need him, or they wouldn't have called him up to begin with, and then, like, right then say, okay, and we want you to change your approach at the plate. No. They know that he's got to just kind of come up and be himself right out of, like, probably for the rest of this year, as long as he's not overmatched, right? You got to let him come up and just try to do his thing. Then in the offseason, you can begin that work on, okay, now here's how we're going to try to be a more selective hitter, which ultimately will determine probably if he's like a perennial all-star or just a slugger, right, in the big leagues. And so we'll see that happen later. Right now, though, they just got to have him. They just need his help. They go and they decide to put him sixth in the lineup, which I was okay with. I would still rather see him sandwiched in. But again, like, it's not the end of the world as long as he doesn't look overmatched at a pitcher never giving him anything to hit. They gave him pitches to hit last night. If that continues, it's not going to matter. But if it ever gets to the point where he's just never seeing good pitches, that's when I would, if I'm the Royals, consider putting him in between people. I'll tell you, with the lineup, though, is we're all looking for Cags. The part of it I love the most was Michael Garcia hitting third. I hope that trend continues. Like, that, putting somebody there that's consistently productive like he's been this year, I think could really help this offense. I think it could help Bobby Witt Jr. too. But I liked that piece of it. And you know, I was fine with Cags in the six hole.
Yeah, the only thing that I didn't love about the lineup is I didn't love Salvi and Cags being back-to-back. I'd like to see somebody in between them because you've got two guys that swing at a lot of pitches and you know, so I would love to maybe see somebody slide. And I don't know who that is, you know. It's interesting because we haven't really spent a whole lot of time talking about Kyle Isbell this season, and he's been really good offensively, and they've got him locked into that nine position. Like, they've not moved him from there.
Locked in now to center field.
Locked in now to center field.
He's going to have to cover Cags's butt.
Absolutely. But he's in that nine hole, and they, even though he's batting, he's got one of the higher batting averages on the team. You know, they haven't moved him away from that. I wouldn't mind, honestly, maybe seeing him be somebody that can bat in between Salvi and Cags in the lineup, somebody who can work counts, can get on base, that sort of thing. That was about the only thing about this lineup that I maybe would have liked to see a little bit different, is I would like a little bit of separation between those two guys.
I like the fact that Cags protects Salvi, though. Like, Salvi hasn't had a lot of protection in the lineup either. I mean, they put Garcia down there from time to time, but he needs to make sure he's getting pitches too.
Yeah, maybe it's as simple as you've got Garcia at three, you've got Salvi staying in the cleanup spot, Vinny at 5, and Kags at 6. And then you've got at least Pasquantino between those two guys in the 5-hole.
I mean, so my ideal line, and it's, again, I don't, neither of us know more than Quatrero, so I'm good with what he decides for a little while, until we see Kags potentially being pitched around, which I don't think you can do, but right now that's not happening, at least through one game. I would probably say, I'm fine with Garcia 3. It's hard. I think I still would like to see Kags, and the problem is the righty lefty thing. I think Kags 3 would be bold but protective if he doesn't strike out a lot, and he didn't last night. But if you know he's not going to strike out a ton and you've got India and Witt in front of him, I think 3 is a really interesting spot to think about for him, because if he's putting the ball in play at minimum, you're at least doing something there. But I'm fine with Garcia there. I would probably say Vinny, Kags, Salvi, if it were me. And I know that, you know, that messes with the righty lefties, but that's the way I would do it. I would sandwich him right in between those guys. I tend to, and this is why I'm not a big league manager, right? One of the many reasons is I don't care too much about the righty lefty stuff. When you're talking about players that are at the level of those particular players, I don't mind that, you know, that late in a game, the opposition can come in and throw in the handedness of their relievers based on those splits. I'd have to go look at their splits on those three guys to change my opinion on that. And I could real quick if it lays out. I haven't done that, which again is why I will trust Quatrero to make the right calls there. He's shaking up the lineup. I'm good with that. Really, any way he does it, I'll be good with it, because the lineup needed a little bit of a shakeup. And Garcia to third to me is probably more impactful than Kags wherever he's going to go, to have a potential long-term impact on the way things have gone.
Yeah, I love that, honestly. And I know J.J. Piccolo talked yesterday up on The Fan in Kansas City, our sister station, about how they were looking to make some lineup changes, some of which you would start to see as of last night. He didn't make it sound like they're necessarily done either. Like they may be willing, as Kags is getting his feet wet in the bigs, to adjust things, move some people around. It doesn't sound like to me that, you know, he is written in pin in the sixth spot, that they are willing to be flexible with him and the players around him. And what I like about that is that, to me, it shows a willingness of some of the other guys in the lineup to be willing and ready to move around. You know, Mikel Garcia has probably been fairly comfortable in the second half of the lineup, you know, even at 5. And to have him move up to 3, that can change your routine a little bit. Like, you know, you're going to come up in the first inning, you know, so that may change the way you get ready for a game, knowing that you don't have an inning potentially to have under your belt. You know, so these guys are willing, it sounds like, to be able to be moved around a little bit to try to find that spark and find the combination that works best. I also do think that there is a world, and you and I can sit here and be armchair quarterback. That's our job, you know, to talk about the lineup and to nitpick and critique the order of things. I do think you can overthink it. I do think you can overthink a lineup, you know, and so I want to caution against that also. I don't think that Quatrero and Piccolo are going to do that necessarily. I think they're going to try to find the right combination that works without being way too in the weeds on, you know, over-managing, right? Like Matt Quatrero, there's that risk that you can't, like we've seen managers do that all the time, over-manage their lineup card. I think you've got to find the right combination and then stick with it.
There are lots of ways to skin a cat. I think some managers, Ron Washington, one of my favorites, if not my favorite of all time, Ned Yost, two Royals fans will remember fondly, love to just lock it in and it be set for a while. And I like that too, when it works. It has not worked for the Royals this year. So if Quatrero, who came up, and I think he likes that too, but he came up with the Rays, who changed their lineup like every day over the years. Like you just have to feel out the room. I don't think at this point though, like the dangers you'd have in that with your players, that doesn't have much legs for me. Like, guys, you've been terrible. You've been one of the worst offenses in baseball this year. Like, you don't, nobody's going to get to say anything. Get in the lineup and do your job. Right. And I don't think the Royals care, particularly the players. I think they're fine with trying other things. I think that right now the priority has to be, What can we do to be productive? And what, and now immediately, how do we protect this young player who got an unusual call up because we need him so desperately? Players don't get called up that quickly. Again, I've been advocating for them to do it, but it's unusual. First guy since Bo Jackson for the Royals. It just doesn't happen very often. So they have to protect him. They have to. And if that means they move him around in the lineup a little bit, that's fine. Because if you're going to call him up, if you're going to take all the risk in calling him up and all the financial risk of him, like if you're going to go down that road, you have to do everything you can to help him succeed. Because you only called him up, Tommy, because you needed him to be productive. You didn't call him up just because.
Yeah.
Like, they need his bat, so they got to protect it.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about what you had mentioned, and I've been thinking about this before, like the difference between the line between him being a perennial all-star and just a slugger. And, you know, that's probably the difference between being a guy, like if you wanted to quantify that with names, with people that we've seen contemporaries in Major League Baseball, the difference between being an Aaron Judge and being a Chris Davis, right? Like Chris Davis hit a bunch of home runs. He was not at all like a perennial all-star. I think he made the all-star team one time. He led the league in home runs. He struck out a ton. His average was terrible. He didn't latch on for 15, 20 years in the bigs. That's the difference. That's the line. And I think some of that does come down to protection. You get that protection. You get that patience at the plate. That's the difference between being Aaron Judge and being a guy like Chris Davis.
And right now, when he's young and doesn't have time, just try to make sure he gets some good pitches, you know, to hit. Because if he's chasing out of the zone, it's not going to be as productive. Maybe. Or maybe he's Vladimir Guerrero and he will be. We'll see. Time will tell. That's exciting. One way or the other, we'll have more on the game tonight as we make our way through. More Sports Daily coming your way. Another hour. Don't go away. On KFH. All right. Welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Been having some fun on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Hope everybody is staying dry out there. We should have Shreyas Lada in later in this hour to talk a little KU, or lack thereof, quite frankly. But we'll have that, we think, coming up later in this hour. We'll talk about this story with the New York Knicks. Very interesting. I think there's a potential bleed down to college basketball. Just saying, I think there's a chance that we could see something strange like that happen. And we got to do some giveaways. Let's get this hour going, Tommy, in style. Let's give away some golf. This has been wildly popular so far out of the gates, and we anticipate that will continue all month long, and we're excited about it. So we tell you all the time, Crestview Country Club, a great supporter of this show, is Tommy and I are out there frequently. We're both members. We both love it. Our families love it. A place I never imagined myself most of the time in life, you know, a country club, and but it's been awesome. We've been there. Our family enjoys at the pool. My wife plays a lot of tennis. I try to play a lot of golf, and our kids have fun at, you know, the activity stuff that's out there. So we've wanted to, for a long time, give people an opportunity to get out there, play a little golf, check things out, check out the facilities, and you have that chance all month long here with us. You can score a round for two with a cart at Crestview by texting the keyword golf to 20357. That's golf to 20357. You can enter this once a day. One winner will be picked every Friday in June. Message and data rates apply. More details, kfhradio.com, knssradio.com. Again, it's a round for two with the card included out at Crestview. Golf 20357. Good luck, everybody. Tommy, we've been looking forward to this contest for the listeners for a while.
Yeah, we've had a great response so far through the first couple of days. Our thanks to Crestview for setting all this up and allowing us to get some listeners out there to play golf and check out the course. Today is the very first day of junior golf for my four-year-old, so I'm going to take him out today and get him acquainted and accustomed with all of that. That'll be a good time. It's indoors, which is nice. So we don't have to worry about, you know, all the rain and flooding and all of that. So he is very excited about that. They've got great kids programs. I know your kids do swim team out there, and there's a lot of really cool things going on.
Yeah, mine are on the way to swim team now. It's one of many things. We've done the golf programs. I think, you know, the tennis. My wife grew up playing tennis, so she wants them to play tennis. I want them to, you know, learn how to play golf, not lessons given by me, is probably a good idea. right? Like a lost cause. But you know, all that stuff's there. It's fun. Good luck, everybody. Golf 20357. Get out there. And if nothing else, just play a little golf. We're happy to have that for you here. We'll give away some HTO later in the program as well. Our thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up and heated up. It is a coffee type of morning again after what we did yesterday there. So we appreciate their support of the program as well. Tommy, let's continue the Royals conversation here, and then we can talk about this Tom Thibodeau story in the next segment and maybe hit some other headlines before we get Shreyaslata in. So the Royals continue the series now, and now as we look ahead to the next game, they try and do that thing they haven't really done all year, which is string good offense together over any period of time. The only time that they've done it over three games straight was basically when they got to play the Rockies. Otherwise, it's been a very small handful of games. They've even been able to put two offensive performances together that are just respectable, right? Four or more runs, okay? Like, it's not, you're not asking for the world here. Four or more. Four is league average at best. They haven't been able to do that consistently over any stretch of games basically all year, just a small handful of times. So let's see if they can do it. Can we get through a series, an entire series, Tommy, where the Royals score more than four runs a game? Is that even possible? Can the Cags effect that we've been having fun with for the last 24 hours, can he really lift the boat out of this murky water, even when he goes 0-for-5 to get this thing turned around?
It goes back to our conversation last hour, and we were actually talking about expectations with Wichita State, right? Like, there's the philosophical expectations, and then there's the expectations that you can actually quantify. I said it yesterday on the show. I don't think you can quantify the Cags effect, because even if, let's say, the Royals are able to increase their run output up to about a league average, if they're able to do that, can you point directly and solely to Jack Caglione being the reason why the total offense is scoring more runs? That's really hard to do. But I think philosophically, and we joke around about it, you and I were texting during the game last night about every good thing that happened to the Royals was because of Jack Caglione. That's, yeah, you know, having a little bit of fun with it. But I think philosophically, yeah, you can add some juice to the clubhouse. You can get the other players excited. We joked around that, you know, Bobby Witt Jr.'s first inning home run was probably partly him saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this rookie come in and show me up. You know, so my first time up to bat in this game in his debut, I'm going to put the attention back on me. You know, so it's hard to quantify that. But sure, I think that you can probably point to just any kind of addition of a spark plug that can get the team rolling. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a net positive for sure.
It is. And that doesn't last very long. Like, it very soon they need Cags to also actually, you know, contribute offensively. But it's no different than making a trade. When things have gone stale, and they have for the Royals offense, very, very stale, a shakeup can make all the difference in the world. We never expected this offense to be like the best offense in baseball. We certainly did not expect this to be one of the worst offenses in baseball, and certainly the worst of the good teams, right? So I think that the ceiling for the offense, they have not even sniffed the ceiling, their own ceiling this year. So if nothing else, can this just reignite what we expect out of the players that are there? Yeah, probably so. How long will that last? I don't know. You know, if Cags comes up and struggles, can the intended effect still take place? It's too early to say that. I think it could. But the best case scenario is that he gets a bunch of hits and he's also contributing. I mean, he's going to play every day. You know, that's going to happen. So He was okay last night. Like, was there anything about last night that you felt bad about? Like, he was hitting the ball hard. He wasn't striking out. He did not look overmatched. He easily could have been 3-for-5 in that game, right? Like, it was, and I think you have to watch that stuff. He was hitting the ball hard. He's good, and I think it's going to work, and I think he's going to have his struggles this year, but I think he's going to have the intended effect, which is a little jolt into the offense to maybe wake it up a little bit.
Keep your eye on how he produces tonight. It sounds like, and we don't have the official lineup card for tonight, but the speculation is that he's going to start in right field tonight. Rusty Kuntz said that, I believe after the game last night, that he was going to probably start in right field. Keep an eye on the way he produces, because you've got all of the circus around his debut done and out of the way. He's been up to bat 5 times, 0-for-5. Now you can kind of settle in, and you are, it's not your debut game anymore. You're going to be playing out in the outfield for the first time, more than likely. And I think you take a look at, you know, see the way that he produces in tonight's game. Can he settle in? Can he, you know, figure out what things are going to look like in his second game? And so everybody always wants to look at the first game, your debut in the bigs. What does the second game and beyond look like?
Yeah, look, their offense is going to pick him up, right? They picked him up yesterday. That takes the pressure off of him too. And I think those guys know that. Like, let's pick this kid up. He's going to get too much asked of him. Too much is going to get placed on the show. They all know that. They know what reasonable. Bobby Witt Jr. is a transcendent talent and prospect. Again, caution. Cags is not that. He is not the kind of prospect Bobby Witt Jr. was. Doesn't mean he can't ultimately be this great player. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, Bobby Witt Jr., this transcendent talent and prospect, came up and it took a minute, right? Took him his first full year to really get his legs underneath him. So just, we have fun with, like, joking about the expectations. Just temper him, though. I mean, basically, you need him to be better than Hunter Renfroe. Honestly.
Yeah.
You need him to be better than Hunter Renfroe.
Yeah.
And it's a gain. It's a net positive. You need him to be better than MJ Melendez was this year. Like, it's not going to take much to make an improvement here. So it's happening sooner than they'd liked. Let it happen. He'll be fine. He'll get picked up. And hopefully the rest of the offense is inspired like they were last night to pick it up and continue the pace and do something they haven't done all year long, which is string together a handful of games where the offense carries the pitching and the offense carries the bullpen and the offense carries the team. Just hadn't happened. All right. We've got more to talk about today. When we come back, let's get into this Tom Thibodeau story. Even in a league, coaches are fired too often. This one is a bit of a stretch to me. Did the Knicks not at least achieve to expectations, if not overachieve this year? I mean, maybe they didn't. I certainly think that they did. Tom Thibodeau. But again, you know, look in the mirror a little bit. This has happened to him before. So we'll get into it. Knicks make a coaching change. I think they know who they're going to hire or they wouldn't do it. We'll talk about that next on Sports Day.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Castor on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Let's get you some HTO featuring the all-new Cherry Iced Tea. Just launched on, Sunday, June 1st. You can win a free cup of that or any of the other 26 flavors right now from the East West Wichita or Derby locations. All you got to do is text the keyword T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We come back here and we talk a little NBA coaching, something we don't delve into all that much. I'm not going to sit here now and chime in on the reasons that Tom Thibodeau were fired and get into the analytics. I'm not paying enough attention to the Knicks to give you that kind of a strong take. Tibbs has come in. The Knicks have been really good since he's been there. Four out of 5 years, but it's kind of gone stagnant. This could simply be it's gone stagnant. And in the NBA, that's never good enough most of the time. And this is sort of where my gut went immediately. This is because they have an idea of who they want to replace him before they make the decision. I don't think they're making that decision and just now going out into the market. Maybe they are, but I think it's more about we know who we want to bring in here. And the first name that pops into my head is Dan Hurley. If Dan Hurley didn't want to go to LA, reportedly for the main reason that he didn't want to leave the East Coast and disrupt his family life, he's at UConn. New York's right there. Everyone said New York or Boston, New York or Boston, New York or Boston. The roster is in place. If Dan Hurley was going to go, this becomes the place that he would go. I think we'll see. He may not want to leave UConn, but I cannot imagine the Knicks make the kind of decision they just made without either knowing who they want to hire, having a conversation, or at least having a very, very, very short list of guys of which they know one of them will take the job.
I think you're right about that. I think they know who they want the next coach to be. It's not going to be Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley's stock.
You think it's a zero chance?
I don't think it's a zero chance, but I think it's a slim chance that Dan Hurley will be the next coach of the Knicks. His stock is not as high as it was a couple of years ago. And that doesn't mean that he's not a good coach or that, you know, NBA teams wouldn't want to pursue him. I just, it doesn't look like to me, and I've been looking at like the odds, like DraftKings has the odds on the next Knicks head coach, and by a large margin, like the odds on favorite by a lot is Michael Malone to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks. Obviously, the Nuggets let him go. He's a former NBA champion. I don't think anybody thought that he was going to be out of work for very long once the Nuggets let him go. That is, he's the favorite right now to get that job. But if you go, if you want to find Dan Hurley on that list, he is way down there at 200-1 right now to be the next coach of the New York Knicks. You know who he's got the same odds as? Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy is not going to be the next head coach of the Knicks. So, and that's exactly where Dan Hurley is right there when you're going down the list of all the coaches. Jay Wright has better odds than Dan Hurley does. Mike Budenholzer has better odds than Dan Hurley does. Monty Williams has better odds. There are a lot of coaches on that list that have better odds to be the next coach of the Knicks than Dan Hurley does.
I'll be surprised if it's Michael Malone. If he, I mean, he, it may very well be. Like, again, I'm not going to get on here and pretend like I follow even remotely the inner workings of an NBA coaching carousel. I do not.
Hell, John Calipari has better odds right now than Dan Hurley to be the next head coach of the Knicks.
So that's got to tell you that there's just zero interest from Hurley. They're, if the Knicks don't have that level of interest, they're not doing their jobs. If they don't at least have some interest there, that would tell you that it's a Hurley's not interested in leaving UConn proposition, which look, I could totally see that too. It's just strange to me that you know, the thing that we kept hearing about him is it was the West Coast issue. Well, that's not an issue anymore. So if he's going to do it, I mean, do you really think Boston's going to come open anytime soon? Do you think after this hire, the Knicks are going to come open anytime soon? It just seems like that came a little bit out of left field, and maybe it didn't. And maybe that's the part I'm missing. Maybe because the Knicks keep reaching this point but not going any further is the reason, and it's not that outrageous in the world that they would make a change. But, man, didn't they just give him an extension? Don't they owe him like $30 million now?
Yeah, I mean, he had a huge extension.
$30 million to not work, by the way. That's crazy.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Like, sign me up for that. I'll kick back and drink pina coladas.
God. I did not see this story coming, and Hurley was immediately like, I was just like, oh, Dan Hurley, that's the spot. I don't know, a flyer on 200-1. Maybe that's something to.
Would you take a flyer? Let me find the numbers here. I want to say, okay. Would you take a flyer on 600-1 that Stephen A. Smith will be the next head coach of the New York Knicks? Because that's there right now, 600-1.
Where's our guy Adrian Griffin on that list, yeah. Right? Like, why not? That's another guy that I would at least – why isn't he a coach again yet? Speaking of the Knicks, did you see that there are rumors that maybe they could add Kevin Durant to the mix? A lot of people are upset with Karl Anthony Towns, who – I think had a great year. On a one for one with Phoenix as Durant goes, could Durant at his age, could he make that kind of difference still, you think, at his age? I think probably yes, but I don't know, like, does he do the thing that has held them back? Maybe. Like, that'd be an interesting fit. I don't know. I don't think it would make them significantly worse as long as he's healthy. To make that kind of a trade, like a Karl Anthony Towns for Kevin Durant, kind of one for one, just change of scenery type trade. Could he put the Knicks over the edge in this modern NBA? I think there's still a chance he could.
It's a really hard discussion to have about the reasons why the Knicks let Thibodeau go. He took them to the playoffs, got them the most success that they've seen in a quarter century, all of that. But clearly the thought process has got to be he wasn't going to lead them to a championship. At least that's what the front office would think to make a change like that. I mean, he won a bunch of games and they saw more success than they have in a long time. But clearly the Knicks brass, the front office, felt like he wasn't going to be able to get them over the hump to win a championship. He is notoriously hard on his players. He's an old school coach. That's what I think makes Tibbs a polarizing type guy. And I think that there are some players that respond well to that, other players that don't. To me, I think that they would need to find a coach that would not be hard on their players. If they're going to move away from Tibbs, they need to go the other direction then. You're not going to replace Tibbs with a guy that is also notoriously hard on players. You're going to go the other direction. Kevin Durant, for all of the talent in the world that he's got, all the abilities, the sheer athleticism, all of that, I'm not sure that he really likes to be coached particularly hard. So I think it would come down to who the coach is that comes in that the Knicks hire before I'm then ready to say whether or not I feel like Kevin Durant can help them. Because if it's a coach that is going to be, really, really hard and tough and all of that, I'm not sure that's the best fit for Kevin Durant.
You definitely make the coaching hire first, I think, because I don't think Durant is still at the point where it's a slam dunk, right? He's not. You don't need to make a decision based on what Kevin Durant needs. No, you make a decision based on what Jalen Brunson needs at this point. But I do think Durant is still the kind of player that could put a team over the edge. The East is wide open, right? Your Eastern Conference next year features a Tatum-less Boston Celtics. So if the Pacers are what is in the way and you're the Knicks, like you'd have to feel like you're very close, which is why, again, a part of the reason they're probably making a coaching change. I think it's interesting. There's always been his entire career. There have been connections made between Durant and the Knicks. And then he chose the Nets and then they kind of beefed at each other. But that feels like that was a lifetime ago.
You want to talk about a conspiracy theory, and you've got your Dan Hurley one out there. Here's one that I think. The Knicks could easily go out there and hire Mike Budenholzer, bring him to New York, and then trade for Giannis, and then reunite Giannis and Budenholzer together. And I think that having Giannis on your roster is much more impactful than having Kevin Durant, for sure, 100%. And so, and Budenholzer is a free agent. I mean, the Suns fired him not that long ago, right?
Giannis, I don't know. I don't think they'd have to trade near. What are you going to give up some of your young talent now if you're the Knicks? Because I don't think they'd have to do that to get Durant. That's kind of just like a money swap to get Giannis.
Yeah, but that's a difference maker right there. Like if you feel like you can get over the hump to win a championship.
We were having the conversation of who would you rather have, Cooper Flagg or Giannis? Yeah. I'm not sure that the Knicks are going to be able to both make that trade without including Jalen Brunson and remain contenders in the Eastern Conference. I'm sure they'd love to have Giannis. I can't imagine a scenario where that's even possible.
I think they'd like to have Budenholzer too, and he's fairly down there in as far as the odds are concerned to be the next Knicks head coach. I think he'd be a good one. He was obviously with the Suns for one season, and they let him go and everything. They had a really good start and then kind of fell off and finished with a losing record, and they had a bunch of high paid players and all of that. So, I mean, it didn't work for him in Phoenix. Could it work for him in New York? It might.
What's his legacy at this point? We used to talk about that a lot, and he's sort of disappeared from the front lines. He was, and I believe this, he was the guy with the best shot to take over for LeBron. Steph, I think, took that mantle ceremoniously. Durant was the guy who had the best shot physically, right? Talent wise. Was he ever that guy? Because LeBron never went away. And Durant couldn't get it done until he joined Steph's, Warriors. Durant probably has a case as a top 15 to 20 all time player. But are we going to give him that credit because he's bounced around so much and he's never really been able to hang on to anything? His best years came in Oklahoma City, but he could never get it done there. So I don't know. I always wonder about it. I think his legacy is one of the more curious cases in basketball because what is it, right? LeBron cemented his. LeBron got it done, right? He got it done with some talented teams, but also some not talented teams, and he's got his as the best player of a generation. Durant can't say that because LeBron was in his way. So what was he? What is he?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we've clearly been able to see over the years that Durant, it depends on who he's surrounded by. He's not a singular type player where he can go and be the guy. He's got to have people around him. And he's got to have the right people around him. I mean, it's worked in some scenarios. It worked with him in Golden State. You know, it worked with him to an extent in Oklahoma City, you know, for the first couple of years when they were there and you had Harden and you had Westbrook. It didn't work in Brooklyn. It hasn't really worked in Phoenix. I mean, a little bit, but not, I think, to the extent that everybody kind of expected. So I think that he's got to be paired up with other players, and he's got to be paired up with the right players. When all of that comes together, he's absolutely a difference maker, but that's not, he's not a transcendent type player. I don't think he's ever been where it doesn't matter who he's with and what team he's on. He's going to be the best in the league. I don't think that's really ever been him. Well, and that's probably going to be his legacy.
That time in his career has passed too. Like
even when he was at the peak, it wasn't like he alone was able to deliver championships.
Right.
That's never really been him.
He went to the Warriors and was the best player on the Warriors.
Sure.
Right.
But had a wonderful cast around him, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I struggle with his all the time. I think him, look, I'll be honest, him going to the Knicks would be interesting. It would be very interesting, quite frankly, to me. But I don't know if it would be, because I don't know what they'd have to give up. If it's a Karl Anthony Towns for Kevin Durant trade straight up, fine. The Knicks will be really good next year. But if it's more than that, I'm like, how much is he really helping at that point if you have to break it up? But, you know, they can't get over the hump, and they probably should have against the Pacers, and they didn't. So maybe it is a total shakeup there. It's too bad.
It's weird because you're one step away, and you feel like
been for a while.
But you feel, I mean, this is the closest they've been, and you feel like you've got a good core. And I think Tom Thibodeau is a good coach. And now it's like, are they just going to blow the whole thing up and start from scratch? Are they going to try to just bring in a new coach with the same players? What are they going to do? Whoever this head coaching hire is, I think will give us a pretty good indication of what direction they're going to go, whether or not they're going to blow the whole thing up and go try to add additional pieces, or if they feel like the coach by itself was the reason that they were held back and they weren't able to make it to the finals.
Don't you think that depends, though? Like, if you go get Michael Malone, I don't think you are bringing him in to lead a roster rebuild.
I don't think you are either.
You're bringing him in to take what you've got and make it better.
Absolutely.
If you go and if you did something crazy like Dan Hurley, I do think you have to give the keys to the kingdom over and just say, what do you think? Like, do we need to blow this thing up, or are we good? So I think that, you know, that will tell us if they make the coaching hire first, that'll tell us what they're thinking. Like, if it's Malone or Budenholzer even, or somebody like that, like, they're just trying to milk more out of the right. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Especially next year in the Eastern Conference. I think that would be just fine. We've spent as much time talking NBA here as we have. We've not talked in this segment about Pacers Thunder. Let's do that for just a minute here as we have this amount of time left. You think six games. Let me ask you this. We've said that. I think TJ said that on Monday. Do you think it's six close games, or do you just think it's six games?
I mean, I think a couple of games will be relatively close, and then I think that the Thunder will flex in a couple of games.
I'll be real with you. It's adding to the intrigue for me. Like, I keep leaning more toward Oklahoma City's going to burn through this thing, but now, like, is Indiana any sort of David in a David versus Goliath? Is where I keep taking myself. And if that's the case, and even if I can just tell myself they are, and they can hang in this series, it's going to make for a really interesting series. Like, is this the kind of, because Oklahoma City, they're like a 9.5 point favorite in game one. Is this like when the Lakers played the Iverson 76ers? Are we looking at that kind of David versus Goliath here? I think the 76ers won like the first game of that series. I was a huge Iverson fan. It's a long time ago. But I was like, oh my God, they might do it. And then the Lakers came in and like blew the doors off in the next four games or whatever it was. I'm having a hard time quantifying how good the Pacers actually are. Are they huge underdogs? Vegas seems to think so. 9.5 point dogs. That's pretty big. I don't know. But now I kind of want to see if they can hang around. Still want Oklahoma City to win the thing, but it's interesting. I don't know which. I don't have a good feel for it. I guess
I do think that Indiana has the opportunity to probably steal a game or two.
The way you're saying that, you're seeing them as that kind of underdog. If you're even saying steal a game, right? Like that implies, and I agree too. I think that implies underdog. If we're talking about them stealing a game versus just winning a game in a series, I think we're getting an underdog vibe to them for sure against the Thunder, which is crazy because the Thunder are so young. Like it's hard. That's the harder part for me. Like, how do we think of them as if they haven't done anything yet?
They're smothering though. Like I always go back to that. They are smothering. They can shut you down. I think they will shut down Indiana. And outside of Tyrese Halliburton, I'm not sure that Indiana has many go-to guys that they feel like can absolutely be a game changer and a difference maker for them. I don't know. I think the Thunder will make it very difficult on the Pacers in this series to get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, Pascal Siakam's been their leading scorer. Is he going to be able to break through? It's just an interesting roster. It's an interesting team, but I think you're with me. I think they're feeling like a pretty big underdog here.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we are back here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, joined again by Shreyas Lada, our KU insider. It's been a minute. Shreyas, hope the time away was eventful for you, because it was not eventful for KU at all. I haven't done anything. So good timing on your part.
Yeah, I try to predict when I can leave for vacation at the least important times. And I've kind of triangulated that May is usually the least important month of the year for KU basketball. I don't like being on vacation when news breaks. So it worked out nicely for me, because I thought, you know, one of the guys, either Dame Star or Darren Williams, was going to go to KU. In the meantime that I was gone, I had a whole story written with like the roster kind of outlook after if one of them committed. Obviously, that did not get published. but it's good to be back.
Let's talk a little bit about Darian Williams and Dame Sar. Both of those guys commit elsewhere. You know, Dame Sar flips to Duke and Darian Williams goes to NC State. Is that simply a product of NIL for both of those guys? Was that just, you know, them getting more money elsewhere?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's, money is important, but I think Duke, the prestige that it offers alongside the money, and a little more recent success than KU has had in recent years. It seems like with Dame Sar's kind of decision, he always preferred Duke. That was always his number one. And when Cedric Howard or whoever decided to stay in the NBA draft, he saw an opportunity for him to play on the next Duke team. So I'm not super surprised by that. The Williams thing was a little surprising to me. It seems like there was, according to reports, a difference in money, anywhere from a couple hundred to 500K. And I was asked about it on another kind of local radio hit about like this prestige thing and money and all this. And guys, it's easy to say and point out the prestige of Allen Fieldhouse and this and that. But if it was me or you, are you turning down potentially $500,000 over the prestige of Allen Fieldhouse? I mean, this Kansas team is not won a title in 3 years. And we know how these kids are. Everyone remembers what's happened lately. It's a what have you done for me lately league. This is not like Florida where they just came off winning a title week and point out, like, oh, we've done this XYZ. The last time you point out a guy on a Kansas team that's won a title for Kansas, he's in the NBA, Christian Brown, you know? So I think that factor of prestige and all that was probably a factor, but not big enough to sway him when there's a money difference. And on top of that, you know, Will Wade's heck of a coach. He's had great runs at every place he's been at, and you know, he's going to be good at NC State as well.
Yeah, look, I think you bring up a really good point. Shreyas Lada, KU beat reporter for the KC Star. Sometimes and more often than not, money talks. And like, I think you look at it the right way. What would you do? Right? What would you do? You don't know. If you're Darian Williams and the NBA draft process just told you not good enough to be here yet, mm-hmm. I think if you're having an honest reflection, it's like, okay, well, maybe my game never elevates to that point. And if my game never elevates to that point, I should take full advantage of these last remaining opportunities to make as much money as I can. Right? It might be one more year for him. You don't know. So I think it's a good point. But KU shouldn't be getting outbid for players they really want either, should they? Like, that's the other side of that. Like, if they really wanted him, can they let NC State come in and make that difference? And it's not my money. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, is there any concern there about KU's ability to go get the players that they want?
I think there's a slight concern. I mean, I thought it was a little surprising that they're out getting outbid by NC State. But at the same time, like, you know, maybe they have a hard, okay, this is what we're going to spend on this guy. We're not going to spend any more. And if he doesn't come to us for that, that is it. That's fine. Like, you know, I'm not there doing their budget and their internal metrics and how they decide what guy's worth what. In this day and age, you know, AJ Storr was this highly touted recruit. KU paid up for him. Horrible for them last year. You know, like, I think for me, the tough part about the Williams thing was I liked him more than Sarr because he's an immediate contender to help you get better next year. Sarr might have been more talented than Williams was in the long run, but Williams was a guy who averaged 15 a game in the Big 12, and he shot 40-plus from three, which is something KU desperately needs because they only have one guy that shot above 35% from three last year, Jaden Dawson. Obviously, they'll be, I think, a better three-point shooting team than last year, but you know, like, he fit in a big need. He was a wing, you know? So he was, let's call it what it is. It was disappointing, if you're a KU fan, that you didn't get Williams. But this doesn't mean the team is done. I mean, you know, Bill's talked about it. He's looking international, at international guys. He wants to bring on another guard and a backup big, which I thought was interesting. So I'm intrigued to kind of see where they go with that route.
Let's talk about a couple of the guys that we know are on the roster. You wrote a story that was published recently in the Kansas City Star talking to Jaden Dawson about his relationship with Darren Peterson and the way that they've been practicing together and all of that. So it certainly seems like the current guys on the roster right now are progressing as they're getting ready for this upcoming season. And even though the roster construction is probably not done and there may be a late addition here or there, it looks like the core, the nucleus of this team is in place and kind of taking shape.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you know, they've only played one practice, so it's so, I mean, two as of yesterday now. But it's something that, you know, they have talked about. Like, I talked to a lot of these guys about Peterson, right? And Jaden Dawson was really reflective about how talented of a player he is. I asked him if he's played basketball for a long time. Does he remember any guy similar? He was like, nah, man, he's special. He's just different. You can see it the minute you get on the basketball court. It was what kind of telling me. And the funny thing was, Peterson talked about him, how him and Jaden Dawson had a great two-man game when they were playing 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 in practice. So I think that's a big thing as we try to figure out who's the guy starting alongside Peterson. You know, like, these early synergy that you have can go a long way. Obviously, we're way off from even the season starting. But, you know, everyone wants to know, who are the guys that are going to start alongside Peterson? Is it going to be Melvin Council Jr.? Is it going to be Marco Jackson? Is it going to be Jaden Dawson? Is it going to be 2-on-3? Like, there's a lot of different combinations right now we could go with alongside him in the guard spots, guard and wing spot. And, you know, like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all shapes out. You know, I think, you know, one of Jaden Dawson or Melvin Council Jr. will start. Trey White will probably be the other starter alongside Peterson. They'll probably have maybe they'll play Trey White at the four, and then they'll just play a bunch of guards. It kind of depends. But, you know, I'm intrigued to kind of see how it plays out. And I think that synergy they're building with the best player Kansas has had since Andrew Wiggins, a generational talent like Bill Self has said multiple times, is super, super important. Because for better or worse, this is Darren Peterson's team. However well they do, he's going to get the credit. And however bad they do, he's going to get the blame.
Worked out for Duke last year with Cooper Flagg. It can be fine, but if they didn't get Williams, don't they have money to go get somebody? I mean, there's not a lot left out there, but there's something left out there.
Yeah, no, they've been linked to the French kid Bryce Desert. He'd be a nice addition. Another one that I'm looking at is I think his last name is Kors. I could be mispronouncing it. That they're talking about from the 2026 class that could reclassify. The issue is, Kansas is not the only one in the running there. Duke, UNC are both very interested, and every other blue blood, it seems like, is slowly adding him to the roster, or like, you know, kind of give him an offer. So it's really interesting to kind of see how that all plays out. And, you know, they need another guy or two. I thought it was interesting that Self doesn't want to add a wing. So I'm like, wonder if he's going to just play a bunch of jumbo guards at the wing position this year, because it doesn't seem like he has a lot of true wings. And one thing I really have been kind of reiterated from this team and from Self is they're all tall. Like, this team is a tall team. Like, they're all a bunch of 6'5 to 6'9 guys. And I think Kansas has not had that in a minute where, you know, the guards were undersized the last couple of years, a little bit, or just on the shorter side, not undersized, as I'd rather say. But I think it's going to be really intriguing to see how they are, because I expect them to be much more athletic than they were last year, which I think can go a long way in playing defense, playing transition basketball, and just getting easy opportunities to score.
Last thing from internal improvement, for sure. Last thing from me, Sharius, Jacques Vaughn is now a new assistant coach for Bill Self. I know this is all speculative at this point, but is this a long-term play for Jacques Vaughn? Is this a short-term play? Do you think we'll see him on the bench for a while for Kansas? Or is it kind of him dipping his toes in the water in the college game and then he may move on?
You know, I think it's intriguing and interesting to see. Obviously, there's been speculative, like, oh, he's head coach in waiting. And I don't think that's true necessarily. He could be the next head coach, but I think Kansas will do a thorough search when that time comes, before they just anoint somebody. I think with him, I'm really intriguing because it's like he has 30 years of NBA coaching experience that nobody on this staff has. And I think he brings a lot of, you know, he was a pretty good NBA coach at Brooklyn. He was not a bad coach at all. And he had to manage egos. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, that cannot be hard, or that cannot be easy to manage all those egos. So being able to bring that kind of experience to the college game is huge. But on top of that, I think, you know, he's a guy that if he can adapt to the college game in the way, he could be really successful as a head coach one day or as the lead assistant on Self staff for however long he wants to be. You know, it was interesting yesterday. He talked about it. When Self approached him with a job, he was kind of taken aback a little bit because he was like, huh? And he, like, talked to his wife. He thought about it for, like, 48 hours. And, you know, like, they went back and forth. And then he decided to kind of take the job. I think he was looking for something fresh start, something new. But he said it best. The reason that I'm here at Kansas is the opportunity to, you know, coach alongside a Hall of Fame coach and learn from and be alongside with him. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how it plays out because, you know, I had the chance to talk to him a little bit right after the press conference. Really nice guy. I'm excited to kind of hopefully talk some hoops with him when I can, as an NBA guy as well. But I think he's going to be a big asset for this Kansas coaching staff. I think just in coaching ability, but also his chance to tell future recruits or transfers, say, hey, I've coached in the NBA for 30 years. This is what Kevin Durant does. I can tell you how to do that or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it could be big for Peterson, certainly.
Yes.
Like that connection seems like it could be a fruitful one. Sharius, we will find all your work at KC Star. Follow Sharius at SHRE98. Good to have you back. Welcome back. And we'll see if we can get a little news in the next couple of weeks here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Here goes Sharius Lotta. Good to catch up there. It's been a minute. I don't know, Tom. Like, if KU doesn't add anything, and there's probably not, like, a huge add, potentially, unless, as Sharius mentioned, they get a reclass or something, where were they going to come in next year ranked? You know, top 20, maybe? Maybe? It'll be interesting. Not that that matters. Yeah, who cares, right?
I don't care.
Right. But I care about, I'm just out of curiosity, like, what will be, because, you know, they've been this preseason number one and all these things. It'll be interesting to see. All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. Thanks to everybody for being a part of the show. Thanks to Kevin Saul. Thanks to Sharius Lotta as well. You've got Royals baseball tonight, 6:30, game 2 for Cags. We expect to see him in the outfield, but we'll watch that lineup drop closely. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow to talk all about it. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we should have Tim Fitzgerald, the K-State insider. A lot of college athletics news to pick through with Fitz, and then, of course, everything K-State. We'll do it as well. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. We will see you then.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.